This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We'll chat some hoops. We'll talk about the bubble. We'll talk Kyrie Irving right now. And we'll do so with the former NBA player, Ryan Hollins. That does a great job in the media world. And he's kind enough to join us on the show. Ryan, thanks for the time. How you been, my friend?
Doing good, man. Hanging in, you know, just taking the day's events day by day and, you know, hoping things don't get any crazier.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And it's actually nice that it looks like we're going to get the NBA back July 30th, July 31st. I've missed the sport so much. I know you have as well. What excites you the most with the season coming back? Like, what's that number one storyline that you look at in terms of on the court when we talk about the NBA right now?
Biggest storyline right now is LeBron's legacy. Can he pass Michael Jordan? And I think even with a championship this year, I don't think he in every mind he would pass him. You know, we got to that one point where, you know, my father and that whole generation said Magic Johnson was the greatest basketball player of all time. And then Michael Jordan, you know, three-peated. Then he did it another time, and then it was like, okay, you know, it's the Jordan show. We can't contest that. So I think LeBron has the chance to sway many minds that he would be the greatest player of all time, even with us just sitting back and watching The Last Dance. I'm intrigued with Giannis Antetokounmpo and how he, you know, if he makes it out the East, how they compete in the championship. Would they make it there and get swept? Would they make it there and compete? Because that's going to infringe upon his ability to be a free agent or not. And if he'd want to even stay in Milwaukee, you know, there are rumblings of him going out and joining Golden State. So there's a number of storylines, even Kawhi Leonard and the Los Angeles Clippers really going all in on, you know, the potential first championship for the Clippers. So there's a couple things I'm looking at, but I will believe to say that LeBron, his legacy is the biggest thing we see at hand right now.
Hold the thought on Giannis for just a second. We'll circle back to it. But when I look at LeBron's career, and we all know it's one of the all-time great careers, the defining moment, I think we could both agree, is the Cleveland championship coming back from down 3-1. The Lakers championship, no doubt about it, would be impressive because I didn't think he would win one when he left the Cavs for the Lakers. When you look back, though, at Miami, with all the championships that they guaranteed, and in 4 years they got two, how do you look back at the Miami run that LeBron did go on with D-Wade and Chris Bosh?
I thought there was a lot of learning to be had from LeBron James. And he went there and he grew up. All the great players that I played with, they had to have one moment, one part in their career where they learned how to be great. When I look at Michael Jordan, you know, you played with Dean Smith, Phil Jackson came along. You look at Kobe Bryant, Phil Jackson came along. You look at Kevin Garnett, you know, I'm sure he learned things from playing with Paul Pierce and what they did with Doc Rivers. So there's a part where guys had to learn how to be great. And at that time, LeBron, he wasn't the greatest of all time. He had a lot of growing to do. He wasn't who necessarily he thought he was. So I thought that's how I look at Miami LeBron James, that there was obviously work to be done, and you got a championship out of it, no doubt. That was an incredibly talented team. But, you know, LeBron had to look over at the San Antonio Spurs and the Dallas Mavericks and go, you know, how am I losing to these guys at 36, 37, 38 years old, man? These guys are older. We're younger. We're faster. We're stronger. What's going on here? So LeBron had growing to do, and I thought he made good when he went back to Cleveland and won a championship and swayed a lot of people's minds who he is as a basketball player.
Talking to Ryan Hollins, is my guest right now on CBS Sports Radio's The Zach Gelb Show. Getting back to what you said on Giannis, you know, has this year, then has one more year in Milwaukee, and then becomes a free agent. Does he have to win a championship in your mind in this year or next year? Does that have to happen for him to stay in Milwaukee, or is it just getting there?
You can't just get there. You got to compete. And if you lose to the Lakers or if you lose to the Clippers, and you compete for games and it's promising enough to where, you know, you saw a second and third option emerge. You know, Chris Middleton takes a step up as one of the young stars in the NBA, or first possibly Eric Bledsoe, you know, comes around in really big moments. And those are two players that are talented enough to do it. If they do that, you show enough promise to where Giannis maybe looks and says, hey, I can stay there. But, you know, when you compare the second fiddles right now, no disrespect to Eric or Chris Middleton, those are two very fine players in our league, but you compare them to Anthony Davis, you compare them to Paul George, Lou Williams, and Montrezl Harrell. You know what I'm saying? You question, hey, how is that going to work? Does Giannis need to learn a little more? We just talked about LeBron James. What did he have to do? LeBron James had to go to South Beach, meet Pat Riley, meet Dwayne Wade, meet Eric Spoelstra, and figure out how to be a championship player. So Giannis is another guy who hasn't had that. So his story is yet to be told. And the intrigue about Golden State, as we mentioned earlier, is Golden State, they have world champions there. Who am I talking about? Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, love him or hate him, the guy's a champion. So, you know, there are little things about little nuances about being a champion that you learn. When I played with Kevin Garnett, no, we didn't win the champion, but he turned me into a true professional, approaching practice the right way every day, coming in with a level of focus. I remember being in the locker room. Kevin Garnett would, if we were laughing or joking, he would lay into you and a couple of the players. And I remember him doing that and going, okay, no, this isn't a game. Like, this is serious. There's a different level of focus there. So I bring that up to say that there's a lot of learning that we saw LeBron do, and a guy like Giannis could definitely take a lot away from going and playing in Golden State or elsewhere.
Would you want to see him, Ryan Hollins, be a member of the Golden State Warriors? Because I like right now, and I haven't been anti-super team. I've actually liked the super team. I like right now, though, around the league, it's a lot of dynamic duos right now, and there's not really trios in place.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And the one thing is, Steph Curry's a little older. Klay's coming off an injury. Draymond Green, you know, had a less than amazing year this season. So I don't think that's a team. I wouldn't get the same feel as when Kevin Durant joined the Warriors. I know some people would try to make it the same, but it definitely wouldn't be the same. It would be more of a young guy joining the other the older guys over there. I do like the duos, but the one thing I don't want to see is a guy like Giannis. I don't want to say be wasted, but you'd want to see him in a position where he could realistically compete for a championship every single year. And it's not to say that Giannis isn't great, but Kevin Durant realized he needed help to win a championship. Okay, heck, LeBron James realized he needed help to win a championship. And you can say whatever you want. Michael Jordan darn well knows that he needed help. He was just blessed to be in a situation with Jerry Krause, brought him a Scottie Pippen, went out and got a Phil Jackson, brought Ron Harper on, went and got the Worm from Detroit. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be able to build around them, and you give it your shot. And if it doesn't work, I have no problem with a player going somewhere and you seeing the best of the best compete. I'd hate to see Kevin Durant having not won the championship in his career, as great as he is. I don't care how he got it. I don't care what asterisk he put behind him. I'm glad he got a championship. I like when Daryl Morey goes out and gets Russell Westbrook and tries to load up and says, James Harden, I'm going to do everything I can because you're that good of a player for me to try to commit to you and get a championship.
Ryan Hollins here with us. If you had to rank them 1 through 3 on how your in your thought process, most likely to win a championship to least likely this year, between the big three in the NBA right now, the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Clippers, how do you rank those three teams entering this bubble right now?
I go Lakers number one. Everybody knows, guys. The Clippers have been my favorite all year long. I'm going to put the Lakers there because I believe that the bubble championship, the Mickey Mouse championship, as you would say, fellas, the Mickey Mouse championship is going to come down to experience. And I'm going to look at the guy who's played in 9 different NBA finals and who was playing like wildfire before this thing closed down, and not to mention probably has access to any gym and facility and workouts that he's needed to have, and he's quite aware. LeBron James, when I competed, I'm one of the most aware athletes. Number two, I'd say the Los Angeles Clippers, because right behind LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard's been the baddest man on the planet. He's a finisher. He's a closer. We've seen him do it at on the biggest stages. And, yes, there's an asterisk with last year's championship, but his numbers were comparable to Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Kobe Bryant during that run that he had. So we cannot take anything away from Kawhi Leonard. And number three, I'd look at Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'd look at the Bucks, man. Defensively, that team is sound. They run well. They get out in transition. They have a chance to blow through the Eastern Conference. I think they're going to have a bit of a blowback if they play the Miami Heat or the Celtics. But I'm looking at Milwaukee and the year that they're having, and it's really hard to bet against Giannis Antetokounmpo. I like him. I won't count him out. But I don't think he's going to favorite to win a championship. I don't think he's second. I think he's third best. But I really like Giannis and what they're doing over there.
In the Western Conference, if I tell you the Lakers nor the Clippers get to the finals, and clearly I think that, you know, I put the Lakers in there. If not the Lakers, it's going to be the Clippers, and that's what people get into, Lakers or Clippers. But if you don't go with those two teams, who's that third team that you look at? Is it Houston with the Harden struggles in the postseason, or is it another team in the Western Conference?
Come on, bro. You know, here's the reality. You just be telling me that everybody came out with heavy legs. And Houston shot the air out the basketball, you know. That's a team that you would absolutely hate to match up with. Why? Because they are the biggest wild card you could have in the playoffs. And if you've seen the way that once they've committed to small ball, what you end up getting, if they hit their three-pointers, is a headache because you can't double and triple team James Harden and Russell Westbrook. But if they're missing threes, I mean, it could be a landslide either way, man. But in my mind, it's going to be fun basketball. But that's a team, if shooting the ball well, you saw James Harden just went out and lost about 20-some-odd pounds. He's gotten in shape. I talked to Russell Westbrook. That's like my little brother right there. He's been working out. He's been in the gym. That's a team that's committed, and they really feel like they have a shot to go out and win a championship. And it's really an unorthodox style because you're saying, hey, guys, we have to buckle in one-on-one, but let's say Westbrook gets hot. Now I got to tilt the defense over to Westbrook a little more. Let's say Harden gets hot. So that's an intriguing style of basketball that you have to play against. And the toughest part to me, you got to hear this when I'm talking Houston. You may have to go in and bench your centers. You may have to change your lineup up. So that really concerns me. If I'm a guy in a locker room, and I'm going, man, we don't have the personnel. And then you get frustrated. You go, we're not even being us. We're not being who we are. And sometimes it's important more so to be yourself than to try to match the other team. And that's a dilemma that the Houston Rockets presents for every single opponent that they play against.
How tough is it going to be for these superstars to stay in the bubble?
Look, bro, I got a confession. I got to admit to you, man. I played 10 years in the association. And you don't see the real world as an NBA athlete. You don't see how hard it is that everybody else has it. For the guys who play in overseas, the guys who play in the G League and sit on the bus for 14 straight hours going to their next game, or you know, sitting back in a coach seat, or the everyday guy who has to drive a couple hours to go to work to keep the lights on. So it is going to be tougher than the bubble. You will probably see some guys breaking the bubble code, unfortunately. I hope not, or going stir crazy. You know, the nice thing about the NBA is you got money and you got freedom and nothing but time in between your games, buddy. You know what I'm saying? So I hope that everybody stays safe. They stay in that bubble. And one of my biggest codes as an athlete is don't mess your money up. Don't put your future in jeopardy over something stupid. Don't cost yourself any type of money, especially not life-changing money that you make in the NBA. But I have concerns some of these young boys really aren't going to get it.
Well, let's be real, Ryan Hollins. You know one player is going to have to quarantine himself for 10 to 14 days because he left the bubble to go to a strip club, right?
Hey, man, just bring it with you, man. Make sure they get qualified and quarantined, man, and negative COVID test, man. Bring them with you.
I read something about probably bringing a personal massage therapist. That's what they'll probably be bringing into the bubble, right?
Hey, that's not my business right there. That's not my business.
Before we let Ryan Hollins run, I got to ask you about Kyrie. I read this report from Stephen Bondi today in the New York Daily News that in this group chat he was encouraging for the season not to continue, and that he actually went as far to say that Nets players, to his Nets players, that they could start their league of their own. Like, what's going on with Kyrie? I just don't get him anymore if he thinks that the players could go off and start their own league, right?
No, I wouldn't say this is far-fetched. Here's the reality, man. You have, how do I say this the best way? You look at the players and go, they're rich. But what you don't look at is the owners and see wealth, generational wealth. And when you look at the players, there's no NBA without the players. So the concept of Kyrie saying, we can bring our riches of what we have because we're the product to the black and brown community and start a new NBA and change the structure of wealth. That's what Kyrie's thinking about. I think that's a proposal that's some years down the line. I don't think now specifically is the time to do it, but I understand the concept. When you're making someone, or your relationship is making someone billions and you make millions, and yes, you're happy to have millions, but then you understand that, hey, we can make the millions and the billions and keep the money within our community and still have a fine product. So I think Kyrie's looking at doing forming change through a different level. And like I said, I don't think now specifically is the time, but I understand it. And I think what's really sad is that Kyrie has been pegged as this bad guy. And I played with Kyrie. I remember him as a young guy. He's a good friend of mine. He's one of the most intelligent, humble, down-to-earth guys that I know. And he's gotten a real bad rap. And he said some silly stuff in the media. And this leadership thing with him hasn't gone as particularly well. But I know Kyrie's a good guy. But I fully understand where he's coming from, because he really wants to make a change. And I don't think we're hearing perfect statements from a lot of these guys. And you hear some emotional outbursts. But you have to think about the pain that's been caused from systemic racism and police brutality through communities of ourselves, our friends, and our families as an African-American athlete. You've seen it and experienced it. So I don't want to just shoot down Kyrie. I don't think there's one perfect answer in these moments. I would hope that the support would be there. But I trust me, I get how tough this is, and I understand what he's saying. We just haven't heard it in clarity.
Do you think, though, Ryan, that many players are like you when he has this text group with his Nets teammates and he brings up this idea of starting their own league? Do you think a lot of other players on his team are receptive to it, or they just kind of brush that off and laugh at it? Like, how do you think players in the league will react to that?
I think you'd have to come with a legitimate business plan and strategy before you go and do it, and it have to be locked in. I mean, you think back to but we think about Major League Baseball now, who's having their bit of a negotiation. The Negro Leagues was a flourishing league, and some were mad at Jackie Robinson because he took away from the Negro Leagues. And if he had joined the Negro Leagues, that league, probably Major League Baseball, would have had to got on board with the Negro Leagues and the way they were conducting matters. So, you know, it can work, but you've got to do it the right way. It can't be a flawed production. Ice Cube is the owner of the Big Three. That's black ownership right there. Now, obviously, he has a number of different investment partners, and he's not the sole contributor to the Big Three. But there are ways to do it, but you've got to come with a plan. You know, it sounds beautiful to say in concept, but you really got to be able to get people on board, and you got to intelligently strategize it out. You know, I mean, we saw LeVar Ball create his own league, and then as soon as his boys were old enough, he was like, all right, it's gone, you know? So, you know, you just got to do it the right way. It can be done. I don't think it's that far-fetched. But I'm intrigued to see how it works out.
And then the last thing I'll ask you, Ryan Hollins, and always appreciate the conversation. When we just talk about Kyrie, and I had Perk on probably about a month ago, and he just doesn't know what is going to make Kyrie Irving happy in terms of basketball. You've seen what has happened to Kyrie since that championship that he won, where he hit the big three-point shot. wants to be the leader, goes to Boston, says, hey, I'll be here as long as you want me to be here. And we know that didn't work out well. Goes to the Nets, and he just still doesn't seem happy. From a basketball standpoint, what do you think he's looking for at this stage of his career on the court?
Man, he's between a rock and a hard place. You know, he wants to be the leader. He wants his recognition. He wants his just due for the work that he's put in. But he's also got to realize being a leader, you got to give. You got to be humble, you know. And I think that LeBron hadn't gone about things in the perfect way as a leader. But the end of the day, he got results. So, you know, you can look at LeBron's leadership. And I think, like I said, he did a lot of things wrong. And scrutinize it, but it's like, well, buddy, here's your team and your opportunity, and things didn't work out as well. Also, look at playing styles. Kyrie is best when he's going out and scoring the basketball. Well, that's not necessarily a team play and can frustrate your teammates, you know? So Kyrie's got a lot to learn as far as being a leader. And I tell you one thing, I played with some Hall of Famers, Kevin Garnett, Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Kidd. You know, hopefully Baron Davis one day, maybe that it's in question, but he's by far the most talented player I've ever played with. His skill set, it's not even close. He's got tools that people can't teach, but putting it together on a championship level and giving yourself to the game and giving yourself to your teammates, that's a whole nother ask. And we saw Kobe Bryant had to learn it. We saw, you know, as we talked about earlier, LeBron took his lumps. So, I can't count out Kyrie. I think it just may be tough for a smaller guard to do it, but I mean, he's got to keep pushing, man. And we just, even before that, we got to see a healthy season out of him, man. The cards got to fall right before you may be the best leader in the world, but your body is breaking down, you know? So he's going to have things he's got to figure out.
At the Ryan Hollins on Twitter. Ryan, always appreciate the perspective. You be well, my friend, okay?
Hey, appreciate it, brother.
There's Ryan Hollins.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.